You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the cashew to my toilet peanut. My dear friend Andy,
toilet peanut.
Mm-hmm. It's that toilet. It's that peanut that just falls into the urinal. That's the one.
The cashew is just slightly better than that.
Yeah, this is the dish of cashew that's on top of the urinal.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slightly better.
Those bathroom nuts.
Andy, our silent partner Nate, is with us, making the sound happen as he does each and every week. And we would all like to thank you, listener, for joining us on this episode. Thanks for coming at us via iTunes, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, etc. We hope you're subscribing to the show so you can listen each and every week. And we hope that you like what you hear and would like to tell your closest friends and family about it. If you would like to kind of come face to face with the voices you hear
and confront
each
your
week,
fears.
We would love to invite you personally to join us this Friday, the day after this episode drops, December 2nd. We're at Kelly's Olympia in the Knife Shop here in Portland, Oregon for our second live show featuring Montgomery Word, Hair Puller, and the Roddies joining us live, plus a lot of Andy and me and Nate, if you can identify him.
Can you find Nate?
As always, as we've been saying for the last several weeks, the contest is still on. If you are the first person who knows me, doesn't know Nate, comes to me, tells me who Nate is on site, I will pay for you to get into the show, and I will buy you a shot of my choosing. So,
drinker beware.
Yeah, there is one prize. It's the first person that can do that gets into that show for free.
It's warm Jaeger with
warm,
a fingernail in it.
Yeah, I've already poured it, so it's going to be exposed. It will be exposed to the elements for this week. But really, in all seriousness, we would love to see you guys out there. Even if you don't want to see Andy, Nate, and I, it's going to be a night of fantastic live music. That's December 2nd.
That'd be weird.
It's a $5 show, three great musical acts, and a little bit of levity from your homies at Hot Garbage. So we hope to see you there. And this week, Andy, we had the pleasure of sitting down with our good friend Victor Nash of Destination Universe Studios, plays in the band Point Juncture Washington, among other music projects, and a good friend of the show. And I would say this was a pretty freewheeling episode. If I would say there was one theme to it, it was
easy and breezy.
Easy and breezy. The hour really slipped right by. And
it was just a stone chiller.
That's right. It was a Monday buzzball, as they say.
As some would say.
Victor's band, Point Juncture Washington, is actually going to be putting out a brand new album on December 10th. So keep an ear out for that album. That band is fantastic. And if you want to check out the things that Victor's been recording at Destination Universe, you can check out his website, destinationuniverse.com, and give a listen to so many of the great bands that he's had the pleasure to work with. So we hope you enjoy our conversation with Victor Nash this week, and we look forward to seeing you this Friday, December 2nd, at Kelly's Olympian. Enjoy this episode of Hot Garbage. And again, I keep going back to 311. They would put their name in their own lyrics all the time, and I thought it was a big mistake.
Well, as like a throwaway thing, but when there's like the one song where like the chorus is the band's name and it's like a fist pumping sing alongs,
we have
a great punk move. I love that.
Hot Won't Quit is a song by Hot Won't Quit, and those are the words.
My girlfriend in high school told me that the only thing she really liked in a band was if they had a song where you could yell the name of the band.
Yeah.
I guess that makes a lot of sense. But then what you're saying is it has to be built around saying the name of the band. Mm-hmm. It can't just be like a convenient rhyme when you run out of actual
words. It's hard
words.
To just casually slip it in. It's pretty obviously a marketing. It's like they offer somebody a can of Pepsi in a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
You know that's a promotional.
Using your own band name in third person in your lyrics.
This is hilarious, you guys. This is a little bit of time traveling. This is a throwback to the first episode we did with Victor called Foamy Dog Vomit. We talked about this exact thing about having a band with their name in the chorus.
Did we?
Yeah.
Does that mean and we have nothing to talk about with Victor? That we are.
I hope we end up doing the exact episode like bit for bit. I brought up my band idea, the band Helbo. One big spike on your elbow, and you'd have a cool song called Helbo.
I learned in my Nova special this evening about the multiverse, which is this theory that space itself is made up of billions and billions of universes. Among them is an exact copy of ours because of the finite combination of, possibilities in existence. And this is kind of like that. We've already stumbled upon our exact duplicate episode.
All the way up to the last couple moments of the podcast, and then we'll veer off into something completely different because this is actually a different universe.
Yeah, this is like a slow burn. It's like a novella with a twist at the end. You know, this is like the
We're in the weird reality where Trump did win.
The Berenstain Bears alternate universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Victor, were there any? We had a guest on who a couple weeks ago who was in a Ween cover band,
really?
And obviously had like a very personal relationship with a single band. Have you ever had times in your life where there has been a musical artist that you've latched onto?
Oh man,
in a very personal way.
Yeah, I get pretty obsessive, so I've been through a lot of them. I definitely had a pretty strong Ween phase where I listened to nothing but the entire discography.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, it was right when White Pepper came out.
Great.
You know what? I took a really long road trip, and at the time, this is, of course, before, like, smartphones, I had a mini disc player was my main, like, mode of listening to music.
You and 40 other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are pretty
rare. I drove across the country, and all I did was dub all the Ween albums onto mini disc and listen to them all. It was the only thing I had access to.
Wow.
To them all summer.
That's so crazy to have all of it at once because it's so different throughout their catalog.
It's so various.
On the show we didn't really get into their wild, crazy, like, thrashy, heavy stuff. And we didn't play any of like the really weird stuff. We kind of stuck to like the more jammy, pretty songs that we like. We could go do like three more episodes.
Well,
on
as
Ween.
This slowly morphs into a Ween podcast, I'm sure we'll add to it.
Cool.
Were there any other ones? Any other ones that jumped to mind?
It's kind of embarrassing, but when I was
Iron and Wine,
exactly. Barry Manilow,
Coheed and Cambria.
I followed Fisher and also. Yeah. No, I was really growing up in like rural Oregon. There were only a couple local bands that would come to town, and one of them was the Cherry Pop and Daddies in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, man.
This is way pre-Zoot Suit Riot. Right. It was like a bunch of U of O jazz majors playing like big band music, but with like punk beats. And
are they an Oregon band?
Yeah, Eugene,
oh, I didn't
Oregon.
Know that. Okay.
So I was a really big Cherry Pop and Daddies fan in
That's
the early
funny.
90s.
Did you wear suspenders? And
no, this is totally pre-swing. So it was totally like a bunch of high school kids getting really fucked up in a... like a Grange Hall and watching this band just destroy the place. Whoa,
the early years of the Cherry Pop and Daddies. I was really into Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Oh, yeah.
They were fun.
They're another band I feel like I got into them when that video for Hell came out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This has probably been 25 years at this point. But I feel like they have a deep catalog. Were they around for like 20 years and have been pumping out things that no one has heard of?
Well, the album that was on, I think there might have been one before it, and then they pretty quickly put out another album, and they were all pretty good. And that's as far as I went.
That swing kind of stuff had its like 2-year window, and I think it's good they pounced on that opportunity because I don't know if that comet's coming back around.
I saw Brian Setzer's coming to town. He must be like 75 years old.
Yeah, his guitar looks huge on him now. He's shrinking
he's
behind that giant,
his
behind
bigger
that giant
and bigger.
Guitar.
His guitar tech just raises it up like a centimeter in size every time he plays just to fuck with him.
Yeah, he has to get a little
bigger and bigger
stand to put his foot on now. Not as much scatting and bebopping around the stage as he used to do.
Less stray cat strutting.
Right. Strutting. That's the word I was looking for.
What about you guys in musical obsessions? You guys got any bands that you...
I got really into KMFDM.
Oh, cool.
For a while because they had so many singles. And back in the day when you were buying lots of CDs, I could buy like 4 KMFDM singles for the price of one any other band CD.
It's cost effective.
Yeah, but it would be like one song remixed by 5 people on a CD. You know, that was really
what like so there's been for you there were Fish Stages, Grateful Dead,
I was really
but also
the
like
Doors.
Dirty Punk Rock and yeah. What era was this KMFDM? What was it like or the bookends for that obsession?
It was like 13-14. This was like when I was coming out of my goth stage and my Doors stage and listening to more heavy stuff. I was really like Ministry a lot. I really like Tool. I feel like Tool gets a bad name in the metal community in this town. I don't know if it's like that everywhere.
I think Maybe Tool's sort of underrated.
I don't know. They're just like a really cool technical metal band. They're kind of like love or hate. And maybe their fans are just really bro-y. I don't know.
I think they did the kind of long style, like technical style, but it was really polished. I feel like everything they did was so polished that it didn't like penetrate the sort of the metal scene in the same way as, you know, like the 70s revival stuff that is doing something similar now.
But they, their singer, Maynard James Keenan, he lived in Grand Rapids for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's from there, but he spent some time there, and he worked for a friend of mine's dad. Still owes him $200 for a car.
Yeah.
Well, he bought a car, and he moved to Los Angeles and rocked the shit out of it.
He's always felt guilty about it, and that's where the band name Tool comes from. It's self-referential.
Mm-hmm.
He's got such a tool for stiffing that guy on car work.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's a true story.
It's true.
Right out of Andy's life.
Mm-hmm. One of their songs from Opiate was recorded at Club Eastbrook in Grand Rapids.
Ooh.
I used to go there all the time. I think they changed the name to the Orbit Room. Hmm. Not really a great name. Not kind of a shitty club, too, but it was cool. I saw a bunch of good shit there.
For me, it was just like, my answer's not very interesting. Like, I listened to the radio a bunch. Yeah. I would make tapes off of the radio, and I didn't have CDs or albums that I bought for myself for, I think, a lot longer than people of our age.
Uh-huh.
So by the time I finally bought my first CD was a Nine Inch Nails album, and I went through a little phase where I really liked Nine Inch Nails.
And a super heavy Annie Camozzi phase. Really into Snow.
Well, I moved. Nine Inch Nails did make me interested in Filter, because I think that the guys in Filter were like his live band or something like that. But Filter,
yeah,
not very good.
I didn't really like Filter either.
Not very good.
I did like that single though.
Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Yeah, it was pretty
great. A good one
for a while.
Off their second album, Take a Picture. Not a bad pop song either. Not a Filter song, but it's not a bad pop song.
The Hot Won't Quit jams kind of remind me of some stuff I listened to in high school. Are there some 90s references there that you guys spent some time with?
Oh man, I don't know. I was big into, like, when I finally got into my own kind of music that wasn't like delivered to me.
Yeah.
It was that like SoCal pop punk stuff.
Like Op Ivy?
Yeah, like
7 Seconds, any of that stuff?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Cool. That the Op Ivy, I mean, did they have any albums except for that, like,
just that one
full collection or whatever? I mean, oh, it's just the one album.
Yeah.
So I had that one for sure. But I was into like Fat Records, like NoFX and Lagwagon. And
yeah. What about SST bands like Black Flag and Minutemen?
A little bit of Minutemen. I couldn't get into Black Flag.
Yeah.
Any flag themed bands like Anti Flag never got down to Anti Flag.
No, Anti Flag. Anti Flag sucked, but Black Flag has a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't against Black Flag. I just
did. You like Henry Rollins?
No.
Or Greg Ginn? Did you have like a divide there?
I don't think I would know well enough. I don't think I liked Henry Rollins that much. But
do you like the Circle Jerks?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, then you might like the first Black Flag album with Keith Morris. But
I should probably broaden my horizons.
He's amazing. I've been really into Off lately.
Off is cool.
Off is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I need to listen to more of that.
Was Off guys
kind
from
of a super group.
Like Descendants, weren't they?
Was there? I think that's kind of a super group, you said, in that
it's,
I think
it's
the,
Black
maybe
Flag
the drummer is Descendants?
Dude, yeah, maybe the drummer's Descendants. I forget. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's a dude. I think it's...
I'm thinking of All, not Off.
Yeah, you're thinking of All.
All is like the Descendants guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was into that quite a bit. Someone gave me a Punk-O-Rama Volume 2, and I went down that rabbit hole.
Rad.
But they would also play Rancid on the radio, so that, you know, Out Come the Wolves album actually got some,
totally,
like, Central Indiana radio play, and that was also a big boost. Goldfinger. I liked Goldfinger a lot when I was...
I hated Goldfinger. And then I went and saw them live one time.
Wait, did you say you liked 311, but you hated Goldfinger?
No, I don't.
I loved 311.
I hated 311 forever until I heard this one sweet instrumental dub jam that they threw on the album, and I was like, "This is good. Why isn't all of it like
they
this?"
They did tend to kind of throw you a bone, didn't they? It'd be really like inelegant, and there'd be one song you'd be like, "I can't resist that hook,"
and
there was
the exact
some,
opposite.
There were some songs on Transistor that just had really cool guitar stuff. It was just like really spacey sounding.
Yeah, you'd like Transistor. I think the Grassroots. That's a
listen to all of it. I thought
one
it
of their
sucked.
Shittier albums. That
a lot of my friends really
like.
Liked it, and they were always pushing it on me, and they were always pushing Dave Matthews Band on me too.
Yeah.
And I hated both of those bands. Still do. I never got into Dave Matthews. My parents saw him live one time, and were
I've
like,
seen him
"He
live
was
twice.
Amazing live." Like they, I don't, they didn't like his music either, but he put on a good show. He had really good musicians, and
this was the thing in Indiana, my town. There was the big amphitheater, and every year he would come, and that was like a big thing for everyone in our school to get tickets to go to. So
yeah.
I did what I was told to do.
Did you get the tattoo of the dancing lady?
I have the one full star, cover of Under the Table and Dreaming tattooed on my back, actually.
All the lyrics of the entire album up
that
down
little
your
scat
leg.
Part in Ants Marching, I have all those lyrics down my thigh.
You're like a prison break.
Yeah. It was purely a peer pressure.
Yeah. My short-term memory was lost the evening of a Dave Matthews show, so I'm piecing together a major part of my life. You don't have to have amnesia for Dave Matthews lyrics to save your life.
Let's play 20 minutes of Dave Matthews tricks. Yeah. Okay?
Here comes a solid D&B block.
Yeah. We probably should play some music. I know we've just been rambling, Victor, as our guest. I'd love to hear something that you've been listening
to
recently.
Well, shit, let's listen to an off track, can we?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Rad.
What's the name of the song you'd like to play?
All right, this is Void You Out by Off.
Oh man, I got some hot fast food news coming at you.
Okay.
In 2017, we have something to look forward to now. McDonald's is rolling out the Mini Mac and the Grand Mac.
The Grand Mac.
So they'll have their Big Mac, which is the normal one, mm-hmm. and they'll have a Mini Mac that just takes out that middle bread thing and it just has one patty. It's like a junior bacon cheeseburger, but of a Big Mac. They'll have the regular one, and then they'll have the Grand Mac.
Seems like a game changer.
Yeah. The Grand Mac's going to have third-pound patties and a bigger bun.
Two third-pound patties?
Yeah. Ugh, it's going to be just a much larger version.
When are they going to create like packets of the secret sauce?
Oh, yeah. That you can just buy at the store?
Because, I would dip my french fries in that. I would like to have access to some of that sauce. I bet it's pretty easy to make. I bet the secret is it's like the... What's the thing at a bar where there's the alley where all the spilled drinks go and you make a drink out of that? I feel like secret sauce is McDonald's version.
I think they
of
call
that
it
alley.
The buffalo hole.
The buffalo hole.
If you go into the bar and you say, hey, give me one of those, I'll take a buffalo hole. And they just drain the bar. There's all bars fill up towards the bottom.
Yeah.
And they just drain it. And it's gross.
There's a lot of bars that'll give you a t-shirt if you chug the buffalo hole.
If you drink straight from the bunghole.
Victor, as someone who is like a producer and an engineer and a musician, I mean, how do you think about yourself? Do you think yourself more as the production side or more as a musician these days?
I do a little bit of both, but I think my most of my time these days is spent recording bands. So it's kind of nice to be behind the scenes, not have to be the creative output.
Do you have a preference, or is it really just totally different?
It's kind of different mindsets. I do sort of feel like when I get to engineer on a record, it's the best of both worlds. I do get to do creative stuff, and I get to fulfill some sort of like technical thing too. I don't know. It's hard to separate them, but
are you still? So I feel as if you have pretty great relationships with musicians in this area. I mean, we have a ton of guests that come on and, oh yeah, Victor and then Destination Universe, and it's got a great
reputation. Drop your name all the time.
All the time. As nice. Much as possible. We've been riding your coattails from afar. Is there a challenge to recording people that you know? Do you ever feel like you're too close to a project or a friend's thing to be useful as creative input for them?
Not really. I really like palling around. I like it to be really friendly and really casual. I feel like yeah. like it is with you guys. You know, we're hanging out, we're making something.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets a little bit too full of itself, it can be hard on everybody. So I try and keep the mood light. I try to be the one who's joking around and making nonsense happen.
How do you look at that sort of as a business? How do you kind of market yourself and get yourself kind of out of your sphere and into a world where people are seeking you out?
It's hard because art is increasingly, or at least like saleable music is increasingly not a business that right. you can bank on. So it's hard to see it as that. Just very delicately, I guess, would be the only answer I have to that question.
You know, at the same time, though, bands still like having a recording for a band and needing a recording. That is almost like the, I don't know, the price of admission to being a band these days. You really can't wait for someone to, you know, sponsor you or sign you or anything like that. You almost have to have something before you even begin playing shows.
No, it's great. And I do love that about the music scene these days, is that people are kind of taking that into themselves and not hoping that somebody comes along and just like cherry picks them out of a scene, but finding somebody like me who can record them and kind of making their own go at it.
So as a musician, so in taking, you know, one of your bands, Point Juncture Washington, as an example, mm-hmm. was there ever a conscious decision on that side to take it more seriously and promote yourself in a very specific way? Or was it really an organic kind of swell?
Well, a lot of the recording I've done over the years has come out of that, in that a lot of the equipment that I bought was just to record that band. That was kind of like my main creative output for years. And so when I started just consistently making albums for that band, I feel like it kind of turned into the business of using that equipment to make records for other bands. So that's kind of interesting in that it sort of informed all the other records that I've made, is just knowing what it's like to try and work on recorded music for myself.
How's your ear? So if someone comes to you with the kind of music that maybe you're not super familiar with, or do you feel like you've gotten pretty good at dialing in on what would maximize that sound, or how does that evolve?
You just pull them aside and go, "That's a hit, baby."
I don't know what you're doing. You're doing it, kid. Just keep doing it. You know, I feel like I don't necessarily have to be a taste maker, which I really like. You know, I feel like people come to me and they oftentimes have a vision, and it just kind of needs to be like, I kind of need to spell out the technical part to help them see that. So a lot of times a band will know what they want to sound like. And that's just like a conversation about, you know, like what we're having about influences, or, you know, you go, I really like to see bands at like their practice space. So you can kind of go and see like what they're picturing, like what they've been doing.
So you'll go and sit in on some rehearsals and stuff just to get a feel for it?
Yeah, I like that an awful lot, just because you get to feel for what they're doing, or go see them at a show. And then, by the time we're recording, we've usually had a couple of conversations about, like, what do you see this sounding like? What do you like to listen to? You know, what's important to you in here is, like, are the guitars going to be really big? Or are we going to spend a lot of time on the vocals? So, I like to think my ear's okay, but I depend on artists a lot of time to make a lot of decisions, which I really like.
Right. Yeah, it always helps to come prepared and have an idea. And then it's easier for you to kind of steer them toward,
you know,
what they are actually trying to do.
And I think there are a lot of people who want to work with somebody who are like, hey, you've been doing everything wrong, let's go in this direction. But that's not usually what I do. I find somebody who's confident about what they're doing, and they can describe to me what they want. And I help them fulfill that more than just like, no, 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 it's going to be children's choirs and slide guitar all over this thing.
I love the sound of that.
Have you guys ever thought of a penny whistle?
Exactly. It's coming back in.
What would you say to bands? Because I think there's an art to sort of maximizing your time in the studio. If you're not used to it, and I think it takes several times to understand what you're getting into, what would you recommend to bands that haven't recorded as much, or even people listening that don't have much experience in the studio at all? How can you maximize that time if you're just getting started?
Or pre-pro, as they say.
As I always say, but...
Well, you know, a lot of it is having played a couple shows, get a couple shows under your belt maybe, or spend a lot of time playing through the songs. I like to make the recording process as close to what people are doing in the practice space as possible. Mm-hmm. So I guess just to have spent enough time in that
environment where you feel like you have something that's ready to go. Something you need to say.
Yeah. And on the day of, like on the way there, you're going to want to stop at a truck stop and get a big thing of coffee. Cut that half with Red Bull and mix those together.
Exactly.
Throw that back and then drink a Four Loko. And you'll probably be in the right zone.
You do sound like you've been in the studio.
Yeah.
That would be a manic
session. I've been in a lot of studios, but I've never recorded anything. just hung out in there.
Just chugged Four Loko.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stayed real awake.
They should have that in most studios. If they're legit, they'll have some Four Loko.
Just on hand.
Mm-hmm. The old stuff, the pre-ban.
Victor's studio is nice. It may have changed, but when I've been there in the past, he's got a projection screen. Mm-hmm. So you can bring in some visual aids for when you're recording.
Oh,
and
man.
That's really nice.
And you have the most amazing sci-fi book collection.
Thank you.
Do you got any recommendations out of there? Do you have a favorite?
Man, I've been going through this what's his name?
Is it Ian C. Clarke or something like that?
Arthur C. Clarke?
I'm Arthur a big C. Clarke.
Arthur C. Clarke fan.
Yeah. Or Ian Banks?
Ian Banks. Thank you.
Yes.
Ian Banks Culture Series. It's a 10-book series about, it's like a post-scarcity human civilization where like artificial intelligence ships run basically the entire civilization and humans are just this just ridiculous leisure class where all these machines fight their wars and do this heavy science. It's really good.
10 books, huh? Are they like the 1,000-page?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Great. It took me like almost a year. Yeah. It was the best time I've ever had.
Nice. What's the name of the series?
It's the Culture series by Ian Banks.
Okay.
That's a good recommendation.
I've been watching a lot of Westworld. I'm really into robots at the moment.
I haven't started
yet.
The
HBO series?
Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it.
Is it as good as the Yul Brynner movie? Because I loved that movie.
Yes, it's good, and it's very different and very much the same.
Cool.
It was not what I expected. I like it. They have a good perspective on the story they're telling, it seems like.
And at the same time, everything that you're expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely robots in the Old West. Like, that was what I was expecting, and that's mm-hmm. happening.
I'm glad we're getting some recommendations as we're creeping toward 2017.
This is kind of our end of the year.
This is a slow build to our end of the year show.
This is feeling out the waters, mm-hmm. the end of the year waters.
This isn't the end of the year show, but we're talking about some things.
I've learned that I don't have a lot of strong opinions, so I better start thinking about that a little bit.
Easily swayed.
It's time, after a couple hundred episodes, for me to take a stand on something. Finally. Like playing some music. Andy?
That's right.
Let's kick out a jam or two.
Well, I was talking about Westworld, and I've been thinking a lot about robots. And I found this band. This is definitely some shit that robots would listen to if they didn't want to listen to music. It's amazing. Let me find a...
Is it J-pop?
Shit. It is. It's not J-pop. Robots wouldn't listen to that shit.
I think they would.
It's a musician from New York named Emily Rio. It's a song called Spell off of her 10-inch...
Time cast a spell on me, bind me to your fear. Dizzying grace, speed my heart beat. Mountain side, wild far. A spell on me, my eyes in the sea. Salt stings, feel something, push inside, marks lie. A spell on me, burn down the trees, make me believe, feel something. I can't feel anything. I don't hear anything.
That was a hot jam. Some sad robot music.
Yeah, that's some great music to slip into some seasonal depression too.
Sure. I feel like it could be a song from the movie Her soundtrack. That Joaquin Phoenix movie where he dates his phone's operating system.
Or Ex Machina.
Sure. Yeah. Victor, I'm kind of curious. I feel like what made me think of this was that song is not the kind of thing that I would have listened to 10 years ago or probably would have even intersected in my life.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about your evolution just as a music listener, how have your tastes changed and evolved? Do you ever think about that? Is that even a good question?
Well,
that question is horrible.
It might be horrible. That's the kind of shit that I think about, but I don't know. I don't know if other people think about it.
I don't know. I feel like I'm still the same kind of listener. Like, we were talking about kind of obsessing about things and getting really deep into something. And I feel like that's something I still do. I find a band I like and I listen to all their records and I listen to the drummer's band. I listen to the bands that they toured with and still seem to be cycling through like new genres. It's different stuff than I was listening to in high school, but more often than not, I come back to something that I liked when I was 18, and I still really like it.
Yeah, I've been listening to Doggy Style a lot this week.
Yeah.
That album really holds up, man.
Totally.
And it reminds me of a very specific time in my life, and it's a very young time in my life. It's crazy. I heard that album. Fuck, I was probably listening to that when I was 12, when that came out.
Yeah, that's right about the time.
It's crazy. I remember hearing It Ain't No Fun in a parking lot at my dad's softball game, and these dudes were rocking it out, and everyone around him was just like, we're like covering their kids' ears and shit. Hilarious.
When you're a kid, that's how you know something good's coming around. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh shit, adults are starting to tell us this stuff's fucked up.
Yeah, if they're getting uncomfortable, then you definitely want to listen to it.
I always think of the Luke Skywalker tracks and the like Digital Underground. What were the other bands from that scene? What am I thinking of? Luke Skywalker and...
Two Live Crew?
Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
I remember like at the elementary school and there were kids who knew some Two Live Crew lyrics because they're...
Yeah.
Because they like listened to older brother stuff and it'd be like first or second grade and having some kid hit me with a Two Live Crew lyric. Like those are some of my first...
Yeah, like that one and one. You know that whole song?
Oh, yeah.
I knew a bunch of kids who knew that way too early and that was pretty funny.
That's interesting too to think about the fact that...
About it's really funny to see little kids swear like that.
Well, of course, that's fantastic. But I was thinking more specifically, like back then, if you loved music, you really had to obsess about it because it wasn't so readily accessible. You had to do some digging for all of the information.
Yeah.
To say nothing of the actual recordings. And I think maybe that's where we all come from, where we would have to dive deep if we were going to get the maximum enjoyment out of it. But now you can kind of flit along and have a real shallow exposure to a lot of different things.
It's true.
Which I think it makes it a little bit harder to become obsessed in that really satisfying way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's disgusting. I think it killed the music hunt for a lot of people. Well, I guess it didn't, because vinyl's selling more than it ever has. And well, maybe not ever, but
so much of music is like combined.
People are still searching for it.
Yeah, people are still buying vinyl for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like so much of music too is like people finding ways to combine different styles and different genres and. There'll definitely be some people this next generation who have seen it all and find some combinations that no one ever thought of before. You know, just more voracious listeners is going to make for more various combinations and more interesting things.
I know we just played a song.
Yeah.
But this is so pertinent to what I was going to talk about.
Well, let's kick it.
This is a Tribe Called Red. Are you familiar with this band?
I'm not.
They are a Canadian band. They combine Native American rhythms with like electronic music and dubstep and like sometimes kind of like it almost sounds like a Run the Jewels beat or something. They'll have like a heavy like LP sound, you know?
Interesting.
It's really cool. And this is a track they did with Mos Def.
Awesome. It's
fantastic.
Bismillah. Showing living by the G code. What the fuck is Fleek though? Don't ask them, what do he know? What I forgot is better than whatever they remember. Never mind, I'm off it, it's quiet form. Time to put the temper tantrums to the quiet corner. Hush!
That's enough, said the ruler. No suckers allowed to break bread or asunder. The daylight, lightning, and the thunder. Sun, moon, the stars, and the hunger. Abundance in bundles. Blessings in troubles. Towers and tunnels. Views and valleys. Waves and peaks. Streaks you from sun. Planet Earth. And ain't scared of no Mars attack. What type of bars is that? Stay off my jack. I'm out there corny riot garments. Top five dying on and on them. Super fly slicker top bro. Eagles diving on them. You why you lying, homie? You won't play with my emotions, Smokey. Big chief heart rate, big beat, B-E-Y, I seen straight jacket come clean. Big said it was a dream, now it's a living thing. With you and living kings, I mean it, I mean.
On planet Earth, the currency is murder. You a man of worth. They say the day is coming, drumming that you can't reverse. Watch the banner burn before the cannon burst. Don't taste an illusion, the nation hallucin. Hallelujah, taste of the future. The people, the shower, the pistol, the coward that's facing the suture. Lonely martyrs, magic carpets, dirty blankets, Coca-Cola, soul controller, holy waters. Middle East mode, sand glorious. Cheat code in Babylonian, the Orient. My superhero got the people power. Yassin and Yassin, you should heed the hour.
With you and living kings, I mean it, I mean. I mean it, I mean. Yassin and Yassin in the R.E.B. I mean it, I mean. Original nation, whoop on solid, I mean. Solid with it. True and live it.
We back on the show.
I've noticed that we've been haphazardly using our on-air light. Victor, did you notice that
no,
we have an on-air light now? It's
nice.
Thank you, Daniel.
Yep. It's a manual, so it's often forgotten, but it's a nice feature.
And it's super fancy. If you spin it around the other way, it says applause.
Ooh. Maybe we'll take that with us this Friday, December 2nd, at our live show to stimulate applause.
The day after this comes out, so only our true fans will have heard this show.
Yep.
It might get too much. Don't listen to this one before you go to the show. It might build it up too much. Yeah. We want this to be fresh.
Who are the bands that are playing?
We are having Montgomery Ward and the Roddies and Hair Puller.
Cool.
On the bill. So it's a little something for everybody. And a little bit of Andy, Nate, and I.
That's right.
It'll be fun.
And we have a contest going. If you're a listener of the show and you know what Drew looks like, but don't know what Nate looks like and can point him out, Drew will pay for your entry. Uh-huh. If you can somehow find Drew in the venue and make this
If you
all
know
happen.
Who I am
and he'll buy you a weird shot.
Yeah, I'll buy you a weird shot. If you know who I am but you don't know what Nate looks like and you were able to point out what Nate looks like.
What constitutes a weird shot around here?
It's called a, what is it called? A buffalo hole?
Yeah, the buffalo hole will definitely be. No, I think I would go with
4 ounces of buffalo hole to anyone who can point out Nate in a crowd.
I think it wouldn't be that weird. I would just go with like a mid-level vodka. Your shot will be a shot of Absolut.
Absolute. My parents' favorite vodka.
Maybe a mango Absolute shot is your treat. And
I remember
free entry.
For a long time, Absolute was like fancy.
Yeah, we thought it was fancy because we were in seventh grade.
Is that what it was? Oh,
yeah, okay. It's middle school fancy.
It's fancy.
That's what
than
kind
Buffalo
of vodka
Hole.
It is.
I'll give it that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's no Buffalo Hole.
I wanted to live that Absolute lifestyle. Their ads were fantastic.
Yeah, they were like crazy, yeah, magazines that we would read. They were in Boys Life.
Did you guys know anybody in like middle school who would cut out Absolute ads and stick them on their wall?
Absolutely.
I remember going to some weird party at somebody's house with like 15 different Absolute ads stuck to the wall.
Yeah, they were provocative.
People had, you could buy posters of Absolute ads. It was ridiculous.
Oh, man, I walked through a Bi-Mart the other day. And I looked at their poster.
Got some discount
rack.
Absolute.
I looked at the posters.
Oh yeah,
they have posters at Bi-Mart.
Posters are still sweet, man.
They have a Michael Jordan.
No, but they had a LeBron and a Steph Curry.
I bet.
Do they have like the triple face? Like one of them's him dunking. One's a big one of his face up close, and one of them's at the free throw line or something like
They're
that.
They're all like action shots of dunks or shots.
You can still buy those kind of posters, huh?
Yeah, like yeah. Iron they Man had a poster? Giant one that was just a Trailblazer logo that I thought about getting for the show.
Nice.
But then I said, no way.
Who would see it? One person a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I did get a stack
a Star
of
Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace poster.
I got a bunch of posters over here. We can go through them. There's some random posters.
I think we should do a segment week after week where we describe a poster.
Let's pull a random. Yeah. Let's pull a random poster out of that.
And
we'll call it word
LeBron
picture.
Is totally stuffing that guy. Okay, random poster pull.
Oh, it's tough. It's a process. In there, huh? Or if you turn it upside down, you can probably just shake one out.
This truly is theater of the mind. Victor is unfurling the first poster he's pulled out of a box.
Okay, I'm not gonna look at it. I want you guys to describe it.
This will be tough.
Oh, nice. It's one of those fancy...
It's a Darren Aronofsky movie, I believe his third movie.
Is it Pie?
No, that's his first. Requiem is his second.
Memento?
No, that was Christopher Nolan.
Aronofsky.
It's really confusing, and it takes
it
place
is really
in
confusing.
Space
Hugh
at points.
Jackman is in it. It takes place in a past, a present, and a weird, distant future. It's fucking meaningless.
It's just jointed and
it's
hard
one of the stupidest movies you'll ever see.
It's one of the worst movies I saw that year.
God. Yeah, it was terrible. A lot of sepia tone.
Sounds terrible. What can I get a year?
Yeah, I'm going to guess. I'm taking a stab. Maybe 2004, 2003.
Oh, man. Aronofsky in 2003 and 4. Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman.
This must be like post X-Men Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is sort of mid-run, I would say. We didn't quite yet know what to do with him.
It's a weird movie.
It's a weird movie. Maybe you
it's
haven't
kind
seen
of a
it.
Forgotten
although
movie.
I feel like this is a movie you definitely would have sought out.
I definitely saw it if it was an Aronofsky movie. In
there is a mild sci-fi element to it because there's a futuristic kind of thing.
It happens at the past
and the present,
and the future all at the same time.
There's a Mayan temple, I want to say. There's like a recurring visual motif of this sort of Mayan warrior, if I'm remembering it correctly. There's a tree floating in space that a bald Hugh Jackman... is trying to scale, which I think represents his life or memory.
Oh, man. I haven't seen this movie. Yeah.
Okay.
We got a co-star?
Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz, sure. Yeah.
So it's real vague.
Yeah. You remember that Rachel Weisz movie you really like?
Is there a song?
It is. It uses the name of
the
movie.
I'm going to look at this poster.
It's the movie The Fountain.
Oh, God, I didn't see The Fountain.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's not very good.
Rachel Weisz.
Also, is it poster? Wow. Oh, I was looking at a reverse. I thought it was meant to be looked at in a mirror because all the letters were backwards.
No, it's a movie theater poster. They put them on those light boards, so they're backwards if you put them on backwards. It's kind
I
of a
see.
Cool thing.
I didn't realize that even happened. So I think our listeners got a lot out of that. Guess the movie. And
it's meant to be lit.
Victor, you might have inadvertently actually created a segment for the show.
I'm so happy. Can I come back weekly and host Guess That Poster?
We should probably just record about 12 of them and we can just drop them into subsequent episodes. Yeah. Could be another episode if Victor hasn't seen it.
Movies I haven't seen from 2004. Hot Shots Part 2, apparently, today, I realized I haven't seen.
You haven't seen that one?
Oh, man, I saw
Hot
that
Shots
one in
part
the theater.
One.
Really?
I did see it in the theater, too.
I was
yeah.
a big Hot Shots fan. And I saw Robin Hood Men in Tights at a premiere.
Really? You waited and you camped out for tickets?
I got free tickets from a radio station promo, and me and my brother got dropped off there by my parents, and I caught a Robin Hood Men in Tights tank top and shorts.
Really? You had the full outfit?
Yeah.
What a day
so
for
I,
you.
So I shared him with my brother.
You caught them like they were in the air?
Yeah, they were throwing them out to the crowd.
So you got free tickets to the premiere, and you walked away with a summer outfit.
And me and my brother just went in like no parents. And I was like 12. They were just like, take your brother with you. And they dropped me off and came back. And we took off. Everything was fine. Oh, it was
who got the shorts and who got the tank?
My brother got the shorts and I got the tank top.
Oh, nice. You got the better end of that.
What did your parents do while you were at the movies?
I have no idea.
We're cruising.
Yeah.
They went to the town square.
They probably went
to your dad's motorcycle.
At that point, they were really into racquetball.
They played racquetball, yeah. Huh?
Racquetball got really popular in the mid-80s.
Yeah. That and what, running?
Mm-hmm. Racquetball is fun.
Racquetball is fun. My dad is left-handed, and he and I used to play racquetball, and me being right-handed and him being left-handed, I would get whacked consistently. and it's just like his forehand was just like right into my face almost every time. I didn't get seriously injured, but that was always a part of it. The physical pain was always a part of every game of racquetball.
It affected your game because you're always expecting
just a flinch. Right to the face. And I didn't have that killer instinct. I didn't charge the wall with the veracity the game demanded.
Not a defensive player.
Right. Yeah, you can't play scared. If there's one thing you can't do in the racquetball court, it's play scared.
They can smell the fear.
They can.
This is super regional, but they're putting in a soccer pool place down the street.
What does soccer pool mean? Oh, like with pockets
like
on the side of the field?
Or some shit? I don't know what they're really calling it. Yeah, but there's like soccer balls and balls, and you kick them into pockets like you're playing pool.
Okay, I want to do a little conversation about soccer right now because I'm neutral. I'm going to say I'm neutral. I think it's a little bit overblown how popular it's always going to be. But Andy, you have small kids. Are you going to get them into soccer? Is that an interest of kids? Do kids
absolutely
like this?
Soccer is the best for kids.
They just get
really
to run around.
About
but do
it.
They enjoy it? Like
baseball.
For me, soccer
well,
just was never fun,
way.
Even all as right. a little kid.
Your kid is going to probably do one of three sports: baseball, football, or soccer.
Oh no, football's out. Football's done, man.
So football's no good.
Kids' little brains, they're soft brains. Yeah, they can't play football
it turns
anymore.
Them in,
that sport
it just
is dead.
Destroys them. Baseball is boring as fuck.
What about basketball?
Oh yeah, basketball too. There's four then. Basketball too, or hockey if you live in like a cold place.
Mm-hmm.
But soccer's the best because they're constantly running. And it doesn't matter if they're good or not or if they like it because they can do it all the way to eighth grade before they can't do it at all, you know, even if they don't want to.
But don't they have to like it a little bit?
Okay, maybe I put that the wrong way. If they wanted to, they could just keep playing like co-ed all the way to like eighth grade. It's fantastic. It's just a really cool sport to play as a kid because there's a
thing
for
that is cool. That is a pretty good long career even if you're not any good at it at all.
Because I was not a runner, but they would put me in like fullback and goalie, and that was fun. I could just like be on the soccer team.
That's
I don't know.
Cool. Did you play sports growing up?
I was a vicious person, though. I took some people out.
I didn't play any sports. I always thought that you should probably get your kids into like ice skating, like competitive ice skating.
Oh, that's cool.
And then like mentally abuse them if they don't get medals.
I think so too. Yeah.
Or get them involved in that new Red Bull downhill ice skating where they like hit jumps and like.
What about high life? Do they do cool. high life for kids?
Ooh, high life for kids. That would
That'd
be great.
Be sweet.
Gambling too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cricket. Cricket is an international game. They can take that anywhere. It's like
true.
Being a doctor. Mm-hmm. You can be a cricket player around the world.
Well, I'm going to get in early on this soccer pool thing and go.
You're
going to
start playing?
Real early. Yeah.
So describe this again. It's a soccer-sized field?
It's like in a warehouse.
It's a pool table-sized soccer
field.
And
it looks like a pool table. Yeah. And they have pockets, and you have your ball, which is the cue ball, and you kick it at the other balls and knock them into the goals.
Nate is telling us that they paint the balls to look like pool balls.
This place is opening like down the street from us over here.
Wow.
So
where's it going to be at the 72nd Street stuff?
It's going to be like across the street from Dutch Brothers.
Is it pay to get in?
And Foster.
You have to like.
Yeah, it's going to be like you have to pay to go there.
I think it's a failed business. I'm sorry. The cookie delivery business that we advertised a couple weeks ago. Thumbs up.
Oh,
that's
man,
got
that
a shelf life.
Best. That is the very best.
Soccer pool.
I highly recommend Spool. That. Cookies at night. Very good.
Cookies at night.
Mm-hmm. Right before you.
The company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get yourself a delivery cookie and you walk on over to the soccer pool place. For some
run
late
a little
night,
bit,
spool.
Throw up.
Yeah.
Run around the track, throw up a little bit, eat another cookie.
It's a good Saturday.
Yeah.
Victor, let's play a little music. What else did you bring along?
Let me look and see.
What do you think, Victor?
So here's... let's do... I've been listening to a lot of Wire lately. Here's X Lion Tamer by Wire.
on the screen.
There's great danger, for the loneliest stranger in town. No silver bullets, not to split the scene. Next week we'll solve your problems. But now, his fingers hold in the Lord. The milk bottles stand empty. There's great danger, a hammer's kick will save the law. The cook of justice, Bob Evans quit the same.
In the top of the hour, a little more Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah,
a little DMB for those,
for you late night travelers,
for you Daveaholics.
I liked some Dave Matthews Band when it first came out. I did like some Dave Matthews Band. I can't front. I wasn't obsessed. You know, I think I had a healthy appreciation for the top 40 hits, but I did not like that song "Crash Into You." I did like that song "Satellite."
Satellite. Home from the moon.
Oh man, that shit.
I mean, it's a terrible
like
song now.
Nothing else sounds like that, but like if you listen to it now, it's just like, what the fuck is this? This is so funny.
It is hard to go back and like even comprehend what we were all thinking at any time. What was the national obsession with Dave Matthews Band?
I was listening to some podcast the other day and something came on from that era. What's her name? I'm going to get a fast car.
Oh, Tracy Chapman?
As the Tracy Chapman song came on, I was like, wow, music from this time just, it doesn't sound like music anymore. It sounds like a joke.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's probably stuff like that from every era of music, but I feel like, well, the 90s stuff really sticks out.
Yeah.
If you think about like Collective Soul. Remember Collective Soul?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's no band like Collective Soul anymore. They are just like this, that's a kind of music that only existed for like 3 years. Is it like adult contemporary pop rock?
I think they were Christian too.
Were they Collective Soul?
Yeah.
I know that Dolly Parton did some really dope covers of a couple of their songs.
What?
So I would seek those out.
She's a big fan.
She did a cover of December that was really good.
What? That's a good. I don't know that song. That's a deep cut. Nice.
Oh no, that's a hit. If you're a CS fan, like
is that I remember walking in December, but it was yeah. I fucked.
No, that was you were. It sounded like you were singing some Better Than Ezra, which we referenced last week.
Oh yeah, dude. That song. They've ingrained themselves into my life.
There's no Better Than Ezra anymore. That's kind of the adult contemporary. There's no fucking like REM anymore. What fills that space?
Kendrick Lamar.
what's my dad's entry into contemporary rock music? He has no place anymore.
The Avett Brothers.
Is it really? Is that what it is? Ugh, that's a shame.
Or the ones who are still alive. Rolling Stones, their new album made Rolling Stones top 5 albums of the year.
Yeah, I'll bet. Rolling Stone, come on.
It's a little too on the nose, don't you think, guys?
After that... after, you know, that, what was that, that rape story that they just botched? They lost all credibility. And now they'll just put anything in their magazine. Now they're just a rag. Top five album, whatever. How could the Rolling Stones possibly have one of the top five albums of this year?
It might have been just top 10. I don't know. But it was in their top 10.
Let's say it's number 7. Doesn't that still seem ridiculous that the Rolling Stones could possibly
have... I think that's just knowing their audience is mostly 50-something men.
I suppose.
I haven't listened to it. They said they threw it back to what they knew was going on.
They probably did. So that means it sounds like 2001, circa 2001 Aerosmith. That's the best they can muster anymore. Pink is my favorite color.
Oh, man.
Luckily, there's not really any Aerosmith anymore. Aerosmith was the Aerosmith of its time, but that's kind of faded out, too. So while I do miss the college rock...
Who's our Aerosmith currently? Busta Rhymes?
Who is our Aerosmith? That is a great question. Is it Buck Cherry?
Maybe.
Death Cab for Cutie might be Aerosmithing a bit these days.
Oh, good call. That's an interesting one. Yeah, maybe it's the
Red
Killers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They got a
scent of Aerosmith on them.
Red Hot Chili Peppers might be our U2, because they got like one or two songs that you secretly like, and then you hate all the rest.
Yeah.
For me, it's Aeroplane and My Friends from the.
I hate both those songs too.
Oh, really? I love that. I kind of like that Dave Navarro Chili Peppers album.
Oh man,
it's weird. Uh-huh.
Pretty styly, at least.
Yeah.
The rest of
Uplift.
Victor, heard recent Red Hot Chili Peppers? Have you heard a new Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
I think I heard it, and it sounded like...
It sounds like garbage.
Yeah, it really
does. It sounds like absolute trash. It is embarrassingly bad. And it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that is our parents' generation college rock now. That's a shame.
College rock.
Yeah, that's what wasn't that what REM was? For me, they're like that quintessential.
Yeah, like right before they started calling it alternative.
Yeah, I guess it was alternative, but it was also kind of soft and like Gin Blossoms. They're in that kind of thing too. Anyway, what a time.
Oh, what a time to be
memories. And you better play some music and save me from this.
Save Drew from this 90s wormhole.
I'm really just free associating now. I've had 3 or 4 buzz balls.
Getting deep into the buzz balls.
Warm garage temperature buzz balls.
Oh, man. I got to play you a track by this band. This is some awesome, just cool beat music by Monster Rally. The song's called Full Sail. Thank you.
You want to field some of Andy's wacky questions?
Are they about exotic Aronofsky movies from the early 2000s?
I think that we've exhausted all my knowledge of Aronofsky movies. Never saw The Wrestler. It's my guilty confession. Never saw The Wrestler.
It's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. Just haven't seen it. But no, Andy's just been collecting these on his phone for like the last year and a half. I don't think we've asked anybody these questions.
These are secret questions.
Hit me with some secret questions, man.
What do you think the best bug is to eat?
To eat?
Yeah, if you had to like just eat a bug.
A lobster's a bug, right?
I guess so.
Lobster.
Delicious sea bug. The lobster.
I think ants would probably be all right.
Really?
Are we talking alive or cooked and prepared?
Oh, good question. No, just like alive. Just like
it's definitely small if you're going for like which bug you're going
to
eat.
You don't want to eat like a bee or something that has a stinger on it. My sister recently was drinking out of a beer can, and there was a fucking bee in it, and it stung her inside of her throat.
She took it down?
No, I think it got her. I don't know where it got her in her mouth, but it got her inside of her mouth.
Somewhere in her mouth, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were stung by a bee? It's painful.
It's been a long time.
It's surprisingly, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's surprisingly painful.
Mm-hmm.
And in your mouth.
Yeah, I fucked her up. She had to go to the hospital. Luckily, she was okay, and she's not allergic to bees. But yeah.
I would think eating a grape, or excuse me, an ant would be like eating a grape or like a blackberry. Like you're walking by in the woods and you pluck a bramble. Kind of juicy, whatever. I could get that
like
one.
Like a little morsel? If it was like clean
just
and
like
just
a like, kitchen ant. Just like a pop it in.
Yeah. I could see that. Spider would be kind of fucked up. You don't want to bite anything, God, eat anything that's going to bite you back. An ant could bite you, too. They do have some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling like once.
It hurts.
No, but I'm assuming that once I'm chosen to eat a bug of my choosing, I'll get to pick the kind of ant. I'm not going to pick some kind of biting, stinging, poisonous ant or a big old spider. I'm going to pick your garden variety ant. Maybe a ladybug. Maybe I'll pop a ladybug. I feel like that'd go down smooth.
Definitely eat a couple of those in my day.
Yeah, we're just riding bikes, you know? You just take a few beetles down the throat. We've all eaten some mosquitoes. What else you got, Andy?
If you had to lose a finger in a boating accident, which one would it be?
That's interesting. I was thinking about losing a toe. I was going to ask Victor about which toe he would go.
Oh, that'd be more likely. If you had a boating accident, it would be your toe.
But I feel like it's a better question to ask about which finger you would have to sacrifice.
Sacrificed finger? I know with the toes, they say that you want to keep the pinky, right? There's some like outside stability there.
Oh.
Like you want one in the middle of the foot, maybe?
Interesting.
But with fingers, I don't know. Maybe you want to let the pinky go.
I think I would let my right pinky go.
Right? I'm going to go left. You don't want to fuck with that right hand, right?
Well, I was just thinking of being able to play like a guitar or a bass. I would have all of my fretboard fingers.
Oh, okay. You could still work a pick.
Or I, and
I right
play
hand.
A pick, you know, a bass with a pick. So as long as I got my forefinger and my thumb.
That left pinky is really sweet. You're right. Okay.
It's more useful, I think.
You won me over. I think I'm going to give up right pinky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I'd get rid of my middle finger on both hands.
just
go like
we're only asking for one. You're giving us two?
You'd sacrifice two of the most important fingers.
Yeah. Just get rid of that middle one, and I got everything else. It's cool.
You think there's enough surrounding coverage to make up for what you're losing with the middle finger?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's got four or five fingers. That's a hand. That works.
More than three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a full set. Oh, yeah, I'd go right pinky for sure. What else, Andy?
Oh, man.
I feel like maybe you're filtering through some of these questions.
I am. Mostly they're asking about different things and which one of those you'd like to fuck. So I've been skipping a lot of those.
Because most of them are people that we know.
What do you think the sexiest plant is?
Some kind of succulent.
Like a dope-ass sexy weed plant?
No, I don't find the weed plant. Just like the High Time centerfold, not the sexiest version of a centerfold.
Yeah.
The weed plant also not the sexiest plant.
Sexy plants. Trees are a little too sizable. You want something of your own weight class, right?
Something, maybe like a fern that you've recently spritzed.
You know? A moist fern.
A glistening fern?
Yeah,
moonlight?
I think that's pretty. That works for me.
I gotta agree. That's a lot sexier than anything else I can imagine.
Yeah, I think of like a dew-covered rose.
Is there a poster in there that's just a dew-covered rose? Is that what
I think so,
that?
Yeah.
Dew-covered like rose.
A real, real sexy rose.
Under a black light.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd take either of those. Mm-hmm. You got one more?
Okay, since we're on this world, what do you think the best ice cream flavor would be to fuck? To fuck a flavor of ice cream.
Shit. This is a tough one. Because it's like, you know, you have to evaluate it across many, many things. What enriches the experience? I want to say strawberry because it's like, it's my favorite ice cream. It's very, you know, there's something you're always, you know, always going to have a good time with strawberry. Never go wrong. Always want to be around it, you know? It's like the best friend ice cream.
I think in this instance that you're going to want something like fudge and caramel. Like maybe some nuts.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's true.
I think strawberry might
or
be
Victor,
able to
be am I going to just forget that ice cream cone the second after I've eaten it, you know? Like, whereas the, you know, I can build a life with that
you
strawberry.
You
got
to go like
cone.
Rocky Road.
Yeah.
Or like salted caramel
swirl. Why would I want to have sex with my second favorite ice cream cone? When I can, you know, just be around my favorite ice cream cone.
You can get wild with some like Tahitian vanilla bean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It melts in the sun, as they say.
Yeah.
You know? But obviously, you'd go on a little bit of the wilder side. You may be a Rambo Sherbert kind of guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good place to stop for the evening. Victor Nash, Destination Universe.
Forced into admitting his sexual attraction to Rainbow Sherbert.
Yep. We'll leave it. We'll leave that flavor in all your mouths. Thanks for being on the show, Victor.
Oh,
we always like hanging out
me.
With you.
Yeah,
we'll have you back. Sooner the next time around.
I can't wait. It's been too long.
I know that we aren't going to get too far into this, but Point Juncture, Washington, your band does have a record coming out December 10th.
Yep,
so December we'll 10th. Let people know when that's hitting, and always a good listen. So keep your ears peeled for that. And if you like a Portland musician, chances are Victor knows them or has recorded them. So Destination Universe is definitely in your hearts. So
thanks for saying that, man.
Yep, anytime. Thanks for being here.
All right, bye.
And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We really appreciate you tuning in and checking us out. If you like what you heard, please feel free to pass this along to a friend and hype us up.
Yeah, and tell them to write in with their favorite ice cream flavor to fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can answer that question or literally any other question by connecting with Andy, Nate, and I at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE. garbagepodcast@gmail.com. You can download this episode and others like it every Thursday, and we hope you keep coming back. Andy, take us all the way home.
This woman was giving a sermon in church, and somebody chopped it up, and she had this specific line where she says, I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, something. I lose it after that, but it's hilarious. And they chopped it up and made it into like a super hard hitting rap beat. And now it's a dance craze that's taking over YouTube for a week.
And it's called You Name It.
You Name It. The You Name It Challenge.
All right.
You should watch it.
Well.
And that's what we're going to go do is watch a bunch of You Name It videos.
Well, so. Excellent. Well, for Victor Nash, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
But look at here. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, coleslaw. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbit.
You name it.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, coleslaw. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, coleslaw. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbit.
You name it.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes. Beans, greens, potatoes, greens. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, chicken, turkey. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey.
You name it! You name it!